The current sponsor of Fraudology is Sardine. If you aren't familiar with them yet, Sardine protects every customer interaction from financial crime. Banks, retailers, and fintechs use Sardine to detect fraud patterns, prevent money laundering, and stop sophisticated scams. You'll get to learn more about them throughout this quarter on Fraudology. But if you'd like to learn more about Sardine now, you can click on the link in the show notes of this episode to read more about them and to request a personalized demonstration of Sardine's suite of products. Welcome to Fraudology Podcast, where we dive into the science and study of online fraud from the perspective of an e-commerce fraud fighter. I'm Carice Hendrick. I don't really know how to start off after Tuesday's episode. I know it was heavy and I hope you could get through it. I know it's a lot, but at the same time, I thought it was really important to talk about. It's fraud related and it's a fraud scam that has grown over 18,000% in the last 2 years. So I think it's something that those of us who are interested in fraud and who, you know, consider ourselves fraudologists should know about. But it was definitely a tough topic, and I really appreciate Paul for all the work he's done on this and all that he's continuing to do on sextortion scams. He has a pretty big project coming up that's, I hope, is going to give him a lot of visibility as well as opportunities to make an impact on the scam. But switching gears a bit, I wanted to just share with you three fraud news stories that caught my attention this week. When I share fraud stories, I'm not just sharing the story, but also talking about how it impacts us, those of us who are in fraud prevention online. So the first story that definitely caught my attention was a recent data breach at AT&T of over 73 million customer profiles, past and present customers, and the fallout of them. Those credentials are already on dark web and encrypted forums. So we'll talk a bit about that. The New York Attorney General is suing Citigroup for failing to protect and reimburse fraud victims. This is something that's coming up a lot as more and more pressure is being put on regulators in, obviously the UK is already taking a stand towards it, but in the US as well as in other places, for banks to cover scam reimbursement. And there are some rules in place that require banks to reimburse in some situations, but not all. And it's obviously tricky for consumers because often they don't know any better. So we'll talk a bit about that. I am going to have a guest join me on Tuesday to talk more about this because I admittedly don't know all the banking regulations and all of those things. And so I'm bringing someone on who does because I think this is an important topic to kind of do a deep dive on. But I'll share some of the particulars of the lawsuit and what's going on there today. And then also the FBI has issued a warning about an AI kidnapping scam that I thought that you'd all find interesting. I certainly did. So let's start off with the AT&T massive data breach. I don't cover every data breach, obviously, but I do cover several because, as we know, that's what's monetized when fraud is committed online, is data from data breaches. So it's important to know what's coming into the pipeline or if there's been a recent influx of data and customer profiles or consumer profiles and what that data is, so you can be on the lookout for spikes in fraud. So on March 29th, AT&T announced that over 73 million customer profiles had been breached from their systems. The information includes name, address, phone number, social security numbers, date of birth, and email address for current and former AT&T customers. Gary Warner, who I hope to have on the podcast soon, is a cyber fraud professor and the founder of Dark Tower, says that his white hat group of investigators were able to purchase fulls from this breach for $4 each, which he mentioned was less than a latte at Starbucks. He and his team found 43 million records available. And, you know, I think I've talked about fulls before. These are what cyber criminals sell for, you know, to repurpose for all different types of fraud. Sometimes fulls include full credit card number, but generally they're date of birth, name, email, sometimes social security number, phone number, address, et cetera. Everything you'd need to commit identity theft or credit card fraud or account takeover on credit cards and bank accounts, all of those things. The influx in data could cause massive increases in several fraud tactics, including ATO and SIM swaps, targeting banks and credit card issuers, and a big rise in identity fraud on loans, credit cards, and bank accounts. So, you know, anything that you can use all of those pieces of data for in combination, be on the lookout for those to be increasing. They're already being sold, and we know that they don't just sell them once and then throw them away. They'll sell them multiple times. So how widespread is the data? Well, our good friend Frank McKenna asked Gary to check on his behalf and, you know, look into these records that his team identified. And Gary was able to find records of people in Frank's family. Frank also did the math, and 43 million records is 13% of the adult population in the U.S. We know that AT&T is a very major phone carrier in the U.S., probably one of the top three. And so knowing that means that this is a lot. And so, you know, obviously, if you are or were an AT&T customer, I think it'd be a good idea to freeze your credit if it isn't already and keep an eye on your bank accounts. And otherwise, you never want them to, you know, port over your phone or do a SIM swap and then call your bank and, you know, be able to answer a lot of the verification questions for account takeover and then have the OTP, the one-time password, go to their phone now on your SIM. So just a good warning for you if you're a consumer, but also or if you know, were impacted, but also as fraud fighters, as this could impact just the amount of fraud that you see in the next little bit. Sardine helps their clients reduce fraud rates, decrease false positives, and streamline risk operations with their fully integrated suite of products. You can use Sardine for customer due diligence, fraud prevention, risk scoring, investigations, transaction monitoring, and/or case management. Their suite of products include device and behavior intelligence, identity fraud detection, account takeover and/or payment fraud prevention, issuing fraud detection, KYC and KYB, and AML compliance, all in one platform. With Sardine, banking and online companies can capture deep device intelligence and behavior biometrics for every customer touchpoint and interaction on your website or app. Stop fraudsters from hiding their true identity. Prevent fake account signups. Detect synthetic and stolen IDs. Block bot attacks, click fraud, promo code abuse, fake listings, and device obfuscation. Prevent unauthorized access to customer accounts. Stop the use of stolen credentials. You can detect social engineering schemes like romance scams, fake financial advisors, and voice cloning attacks. Prevent fraudulent online payments, account funding, and transfers. Protect users from APP fraud, that's authorized push payment fraud. Block stolen payment credentials and decline transactions likely to result in ACH returns or chargebacks. You can also detect refund and/or returns abuse. Tackle first-party fraud and stop fraudsters from gaming your policies. Stop card cloning attacks. Prevent unauthorized card-not-present and card-present transactions. And ingest risk scores in real time for authorization decisions. For KYC and KYB, perform customer due diligence, global watchlist screening, and document verification all in one platform. Support flexible onboarding flows that route users down streamlined paths or step up verifications. And for AML compliance, centralize your compliance operations in one dashboard. You can configure real-time and batch transaction monitoring rules, investigate suspicious activity, streamline your SAR or UAR filings, and automate case management. I've seen a lot of fraud tools and can safely say that that's a lot of capabilities to have all in one platform. You can take advantage of all or some of these features to either supplement or replace your current fraud tools. To learn more about Sardine's suite of products or to contact them to request a personalized demo of their platform, go to www.sardine.ai. That's www.sardine.ai. So the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, has filed, well, back in January, actually, filed a lawsuit against Citibank Corp for failing to protect reimburse victims of electronic fraud. The lawsuit claims that Citi does not have strong protections in place to prevent unauthorized account takeovers. It misleads victims of fraud and illegally denies reimbursements, according to a press release. The Attorney General's office said the alleged failure on Citi's part has cost New York account holders millions of dollars, and in some cases, their entire life savings. Banks are supposed to be the safest place to keep money, yet Citi's negligence has allowed scammers to steal millions of dollars from hardworking people, James said in a statement. Many New Yorkers rely on online banking to pay bills or save for big milestones, and if a bank cannot secure its customers' accounts, they are failing in their most basic duty. And then just last week, Citigroup filed a countersuit, or at least filed documents urging a dismissal of this lawsuit, saying that they are doing everything that they can to prevent scammers, but that no system will catch every scam every time. But the solution is not a lawsuit that would abruptly and dramatically upset how banks have organized their policies and practices for decades, Citigroup said in a filing in Manhattan federal court. There were a couple of specific instances that were named in the lawsuit that I thought I would share. In one instance, a customer allegedly lost $40,000 of retirement savings after clicking a link in a text message that appeared to be from Citibank. So a spam text message or phishing text message. The attorney general also accused Citibank of coercing victims into signing affidavits that purported to narrow their ability to recoup losses and then summarily rejected reimbursement claims. The attorney general wants Citibank to pay back defrauded New Yorkers and pay a $5,000 civil fine per violation and appoint an outside monitor to review bank records and locate victims. I would imagine that this would make other banks nervous that this could happen to them. It sounds like some of these things are isolated to the way that this particular bank is trying to prevent fraud claims as well as the reimbursement side. But I think it's really important to be aware of, especially as more and more scams are targeting consumers directly. And in some cases, they're impersonating the bank, like that one case. In other cases, they are coercing the victim to be involved. And in both cases, those are really tough for banks to identify, but there are things that can be done and there's more that can be done to prevent fraud. And I think that there needs to be some clarity on some of the banking rules, but I will be talking more about that on next Tuesday with my guest who will clarify some of the banking rules that Citigroup outlined in their response and talk about, you know, what banks can do to continually improve this process, as well as where we see this going. I happen to know that there are, you know, a couple of government agencies that are looking into changing regulations to encompass more scam reimbursement. Maybe not 100%, but just to try to put something in place. Similar to e-commerce with chargebacks and how cardholders are protected there, but hopefully a little more judicious, as we know, any of us on the e-commerce side know that right now, anyone can just say the F word, fraud, and have a chargeback filed and they're, you know, not liable for it. And that's under Reg E. So we will, like I said, we'll talk more about that on Tuesday, but it's, you know, I think it's an interesting topic and one that several of you, especially on the banking and fintech side, are very interested in. And I think it's important for all of us to understand how some of this could impact everyone. And then the last story that caught my attention was the St. Louis, Missouri FBI office issued a warning about AI kidnapping scams. So suspects are again using voices generated with artificial intelligence to steal thousands of dollars from their frightened victims. The FBI says a simple solution is to have a safe word as a family. That simple family safe can cut through the most sophisticated AI scams, he said, that would have likely been the case in a recent situation. So here's what happened in that case. A professor in the medical field got a phone call at work saying her daughter, 16, had been kidnapped. During the call, the mother could hear her daughter's voice screaming for help. The suspect said he kidnapped the girl after they'd been involved in a car crash. He ordered the mother to drive to a specific supermarket to wire him $3,000 for her daughter's release, demanding the mother stay on the phone until she got to the store and wired the money, threatening to hurt her daughter otherwise. It was nearly a two-hour ordeal. The daughter was actually safe at home the entire time. There was no crash. She never screamed for help. But if the family had a safe word, then they'd be able to say, you know, in any situation, can simply say to the person on the other end of the phone, who's either pretending to be the victim or to hold the victim, okay, I'm ready to move forward. Please don't hurt my family member, but I need to know what the safe word is. So what is our family's word? They won't be able to generate that through artificial intelligence, is the basic premise there. So the National Institutes of Health recently issued a warning after multiple workers were targeted using these same techniques. So it may be, you know, specific industries of people or specific groups of people, because it seems like they're all in healthcare, which is interesting, but that could just be a correlation and not necessarily a causation. But we do know that there are definitely a lot of voice cloning apps out there that will, you know, take especially a teenager's voice off of a social media video and turn it into, you know, AI generated so they can say anything. And I thought that this was interesting because, and there's another reason why this caught my attention. So back in the 80s, and I don't remember a lot about the specifics because I was young, I know that my parents were concerned about kidnappings and that that was something that had been happening a fair amount. I don't think in our, in where we lived, but I don't know. And so when I was probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 or so, my parents sat my sister and I down and said that we needed to have a code word so that if anyone came to our school and said, you know, your parents have been in an accident, they asked us to pick you up and we didn't know who they were. Our parents explained that if that ever happened, if they ever sent anyone to the school to pick us up that we didn't know, they would give them a code word. I'm not going to tell you what the code word was, especially because, you know, there's other services I use now that require code words and all of that. But I found it interesting that in 2024, there's a new, that advice is being given again, but for completely different reasons, for AI kidnappings, for, you know, these scams that are happening, saying that they've got your child or a family member, and that the same tactic of having a code word or a safe word is what the advice is. I found that kind of funny, weird, not funny, but as far as, you know, the same things that worked in the 80s to hopefully prevent kidnappings can work now with AI generated scam calls for kidnapping. So that is all I have today. I know that there's a lot of other fraud going out there. And certainly if a fraud story catches your attention and you feel like it has impacts in our world, please feel free to share it with me. And I'm always open to guest and topic ideas. After, you know, 260 some episodes, sometimes I, you know, need a little extra help from you guys to hear what you want to hear. But thank you so much for listening as always, and I will talk to you more next week. Thank you again to Sardine for sponsoring this episode of Fraudology and for supporting information sharing and collaboration across the FraudFighter ecosystem. You can learn more about the team and their mission at Sardine via the link in today's episode description.